Up next, we're going to talk about the power of the mind. The name of the book is called Tough. Greg Evert, our guest, and we'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And let me tell you about Greg Evert, has coached the Olympic sport of weightlifting for almost 15 years up to the world championship level, was a nationally competitive lifter himself, is now an elite competitor in the tactical games. Greg is the author of Olympic Weightlifting, a complete guide for athletes and coaches and other titles, and the writer, director, producer of American Weightlifting. It's a documentary. His new book is called Tough, Building True Mental, Physical, and Emotional Toughness for Success and Fulfillment. Greg, welcome to the program. First time for you, I understand.
It is. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us, too. How'd you get involved in weightlifting? I bet you did this since you were a kid.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Started training. I was involved in just about every sport you've heard of, and quite a few you probably haven't. But I was always drawn to the training aspects of whatever I was doing. So, from an early age, I was in the garage and doing what I could. And, this is pre-internet days, of course, so a little more difficult to figure out what was going on and discovered the sport of weightlifting, as a teenager, but, of course, didn't have access to a coach or, a proper facility and equipment, which is very specific to that sport. And I couldn't Google weightlifting coach near me, so I kind of figured my way through it for a few years, and then several years later I just happened to have a great opportunity and ran into a really accomplished coach who became my coach and my mentor and really helped me transition into coaching when I was done lifting.
Did you ever get hurt weightlifting?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's essentially what retired me, was I blew out my shoulder at the 2015 National Championship.
Oh, God, that must have hurt. Yeah. That must have hurt.
Although, to be fair, that sport has one of the lowest rates of acute injury of any Olympic sport. So it's one of those sports that people think is really dangerous and injurious, and it is actually surprisingly not. Far more injuries than, field sports like football, baseball, soccer, those sorts of things.
I have a friend who owns a gym here in St. Louis, Greg, and he was weightlifting years ago, and he heard something pop, and I guess he pulled out his pec muscles or something by doing, I guess the weights are too much or something happens, right?
Mine was really just a freak accident. I had never had any shoulder issues, and it really came down to me making a bad decision and fighting to save a lift that I shouldn't have tried to save, and sounded like green tree branches tearing, and gosh, that arm was hanging halfway off, so it was a pretty extensive surgery after that one.
Super. Now tell us about your book, Tough. I love this, about the power of the mind, which can be applicable to anything, not just weightlifting.
Yeah, absolutely. It is it's really a all-encompassing, very broad-reaching look into what I consider what true toughness is, which unfortunately that title is going to be misleading to a lot of people, and so I spend a lot of time early in the book trying to explain what exactly it is. But essentially what I'm looking at is how do we figure out ways to experience our life more fulfilling, more meaningful experiences, the perspective that allows us to not just make it through adversity, challenges, hardships, but actually use them to our advantage, so that we come out the other end more capable, more intelligent, stronger, more resilient, all these things that all of us at least unconsciously seek, right? We seek to be secure and be happy and be confident in ourselves. And so it's really a look at how, not only what that entails, but how we actually achieve that in a practical sense.
When you say tough, what do you mean by that?
Well, the short version, I break it down into four elements, and that is character, capability, capacity, and commitment. Character is essentially knowing and determining who you are, your genuine identity. And the corollary to that is being secure in that identity, right? So that helps us avoid all the silly, meaningless competition and one-upmanship and desperate validation seeking and that sort of thing that prevents us from doing what's actually meaningful to us. Capability is just the broadest range possible and an ever-growing collection of not just physical traits, you know, in terms of athletic sort of things, but skills and knowledge. So we're trying to collect as many of those things from as broad a range of experiences and disciplines as possible, because that is what allows us to be prepared for any possible unpredictable experience.
And it could, be toughness with men or women, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it has, that's the thing, is it's there's nothing gender dependent about it, right? We may have, each of us may have certain traits that we're able to develop and express to a greater extent, but that's true within a given sex too, right? Some men are going to be stronger than other men, regardless of how they train. Some women are going to be a lot stronger than some men. I coach primarily women in the sport of weightlifting, and they would outperform quite a few men out there. So it's really the sum total of all these different traits, not just a couple specific ones that are, you know, exclusive to certain types of people.
And, you know, I have found that you can be tough and kind at the same time, can't you?
Absolutely. In fact, if you are not kind, it is an indicator that you are not truly tough, because you are very likely, at least unconsciously, trying to protect yourself and avoid exposing what you see as vulnerability, and essentially, you know, creating a persona that you believe is presenting a strong, you know, sense to people, rather than simply recognizing that being kind, being generous, being, you know, compassionate is not betraying weakness. It is not making you vulnerable or any of these other things that somehow, you know, so many of us have started to believe about that.
Absolutely. And to be tough, people can use it in business. You can use it in just about anything. It's just not athletics, right?
No, not at all. Athletics is one thing we can do with our lives, one thing we can find meaning in, one thing we can find enjoyment in. But the qualities, that, you know, the condition of being tough, and these things we're seeking and developing, apply to every single aspect of our lives. You know, it comes down to the most elemental experiences, the way that the attitude we have about things, the way that we interpret events, and therefore, you know, how we feel about them, whether or not we enjoy them, whether or not we're capable of learning anything from them and actually developing as a person, versus kind of cowering in the corner and waiting for the hard times to pass.
Our guest is Greg Everett. His book is called Tough: Building True Mental, Physical, and Emotional Toughness for Success and Fulfillment. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You talk about the four C's of toughness in your book, Greg. Go through those for us.
So I covered the first two a moment ago. So that's our character and capacity, or excuse me, capability. The third one is capacity, and that is what most of us, you know, typically call resilience. But my issue with resilience really is the ability to return to our original condition following some kind of traumatic event. And that's a good start, of course. We want to survive this thing and at least get back to our baseline. But when I'm talking about capacity, what I want to do is actually take advantage of whatever adverse situation we're experiencing and exploit it in any way we possibly can to actually get better from it, all right? So we're not just surviving something. We're not riding out the storm in the cellar. We're actually thriving through it and in the wake of it, and we're learning what we can from it. And so that takes that attitude I talked about a moment ago of looking at, what can I use this for? What can I do with this? You know, how can I turn this into an opportunity rather than just, you know, hunkering down and suffering through it in a more passive way? And then the final one is commitment. And this is a pretty encompassing topic here, but this includes things like discipline and you know, habit building, routines, lifestyle, that sort of thing. But ultimately what it comes down to is that if you have these first three things nailed down, but you do not have the commitment element, you're not willing to actually put these things to use to achieve anything meaningful or significant. So that means that all of those previous things have just become a private fantasy. It's just something you tell yourself, something you tell yourself you can do, something you tell yourself you are. But as soon as those things are actually challenged and you're required to step up and do something about it, you fail to. And so that's the lack of commitment. That's why that's such an important part of it all.
Greg, what are some of the things people face where toughness is so important in their regular lifestyle? The death of a loved one, perhaps? A breakup of a relationship? What other things?
Oh, yeah, things like that. But even the simpler day-to-day things and simply standing up for your values and what you believe. I mean, think about how many times you've been in a social situation and you find yourself just quietly nodding along to something someone is saying that you vehemently disagree with. But you're unwilling to put yourself out there because you're not entirely secure in that identity, and you're not willing to and it's not that you have to fight people on this stuff. It's not a combative, adversarial sort of thing. But when you are truly secure in that identity, you have that character thing dialed down, you can express what you think, what you feel in a non-adversarial sort of way, you know, to defend it, to stand up for what you believe. You can go out there, you can actually stand up for other people who are incapable of doing that. And it is, you know, death of a loved one, difficulties at work, anything that is challenging your ability to enjoy your life, right, is essentially something that the idea of toughness is going to help you through, because it's changing the way that you're viewing these things, and it's providing you a sense of agency and this knowledge that you are responsible for the course of your life, and therefore you are seeking action to take, even if those actions are not overt physical actions. They may be simply changing the way you're thinking, changing the way you're viewing something, and that allows us to experience these things in a totally different way that can, while it's still going to be difficult, right, losing someone you care about is never going to be easy, but you can get through that in a way that ultimately is not going to crush you and, you know, may provide you some value in terms of insight.
How do you train someone to be tough without them being mean or a bully or anything like that?
Well, first you educate them and explain to them that those things have nothing to do with being tough. And again, you know, you look at the classic, you know, bully story, and if you allow that to actually play out to its logical conclusion, it always ends in the bully being exposed as a coward, right? It's someone who is incredibly insecure.
Yes.
And they are really overplaying this, what they think is the kind of tough guy persona.
And they're really not tough at all.
No, but they're so terrified of being exposed as cowards, as being vulnerable, as being weak, that they have to put on this show. And so that's number one, is a truly tough person will never tell you how tough he or she is. They don't have to, first of all. But second of all, they're not interested in getting credit or recognition for it. It's just who they are. It's just like I don't go around bragging about having brown hair. It's just what it is. And so it really is a totally different mindset, and being truly tough is totally incompatible with acting tough outwardly.
What has been the toughest thing you've gone through on your own?
Oh, well, you know,
that you
quite
can share with
different
us.
Things, but I would say if I had to actually choose one, it would be dealing with drug addiction in my younger years. And you know, spending quite a few years trying to come out the other end of that, because it required a lot of really fundamental remodeling of my life and changing, you know, entirely how I was approaching my own life, the way I was thinking about things, who I was spending time with, and, you know, cutting essentially everybody I knew at that point out of my life permanently. So it took some very serious, very extensive change to get through that.
How old were you then?
This was, you know, from my early teenage years until my early 20s. So, you know, 23, 24 was probably when I finally started wrapping that stuff up.
Did you do this on your own to fight it, or did you have help?
I did it completely on my own, and I don't necessarily recommend that to everybody. But that is what worked for me. That is what I found I had to do. And if people have to remember that there's no shame in seeking help for that stuff or anything else. That is absolutely the best thing to do in so many cases. So you really have to find the structure and the system that works best for you. rather than trying to subscribe to someone else's, you know, whatever system worked for them. And so I don't think, you know, to use the parlance for the night, I don't think I'm tougher than someone else by doing it on my own than someone who, say, goes to a 12-step program or some kind of support group. Anyone who can get through something like that has my respect for some toughness.
What was it that had you hit the bottom, Greg, that made you realize, I got to pull out of this, I got to change?
Well, it's a collection of experiences. I don't know that there was a single rock bottom. It's bouncing around a rocky bottom for a while, I think, in a lot of cases. You know, things like being incapable of going into my job because I had been up for 2 days doing cocaine.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I couldn't be bothered to pull away from that to go try to, you know, keep my job. So things like that, I think it's, for many people, maybe it's more dramatic to think of this one awful experience that finally does it for them. But I think a lot of times it really is the accumulation of many experiences over time. And it's just that constantly building burden that you're carrying. And finally, you know, the classic straw that breaks the camel's back sort of situation.
Well, you're lucky you stopped when you did. You probably wouldn't even be here talking to me tonight. You'd be dead.
Very likely, yeah. That is a real possibility.
That happens to so many people out there. And in your book, you have some examples of some people who are quote-unquote tough. Give us a story or two, if you would.
Well, one of my favorites is Stephen Callahan, who was a sailor, a boat builder from Maine, and he was sailing solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And a whale hit his boat in the middle of the night,
Jeez. Destroyed
it, and it sunk so quickly. All he could have, you know, all he had time to get was the life raft. He didn't get his main, emergency supply kit. And he ended up being alone on this life raft drifting through the Atlantic for 76 days.
Wow.
And you think about being alone, even in the comfort of your own home, being perfectly alone, speaking to no one for 76 days. It would drive most of us crazy.
Sure. Look what COVID's done to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And they still get to talk to each other via Zoom. So you have that, but in addition, he's in a rotting life raft. Those things are not made to last that long.
No food, no water?
Yep, his solar stills are not working properly, so he's having to try to figure out ways to make them work better. He's having to try to catch fish that swim close enough to the raft. There are sharks bumping into his raft. You know, it's just one thing after another. But the level of composure and ingenuity that he showed was just otherworldly. I mean, the raft sprung a leak at one point, and so he spent, you know, it was a week or two constantly having to keep the raft, inflating the raft over and over and over again, and he's trying all kinds of things to fix it, and nothing's working. And he finally discovers, you know, creates a solution using a fork. So of all things that he happens to have on this raft, it's a fork, something that we associate with creating leaks in the first place, that he uses to fix a leak. And so it just showed that what somebody can not just endure, but how much the power of, you know, resourcefulness and ingenuity and that just incredibly creative thinking versus judicial thinking that just says, no, that'll never work, and, you know, disregards these ideas, dismisses them out of hand. And you know, the great part of the story is that when he was finally found, he was found by a bunch of fishermen.
Hold on for a second, Greg. We'll let you finish that story when we come right back. Let's see how tough you are. We'll take your calls next hour with Greg Everett as we talk about his work called Tough. It's an incredible book about just being fearless, my friends, just being fearless. We'll talk more about that. We'll get into his story of Steve Callahan, who went adrift and survived. Callahan is about 68, 69 years old now, and tells his story around the country. We'll be back with more with Greg in a moment. Calls next hour on Coast to Coast. And welcome back. We're back with Greg Everett, author of Tough. Greg, you were talking about the story of Steve Callahan. I'll let you finish that up. As he went adrift after his boat got hit by a whale, What, and 70 some days he was floating along, huh?
76 days. So, and just the remarkable wrap up to the story is that after those 76 days, he's finally found by these fishermen on their boat. And rather than, you know, immediately jumping up onto that boat and being taken to land, he tells these guys, no, go ahead, do your fishing for the day. I'll wait.
So
he just waits for them to go about, you know, their daily fishing. And so that to me just showed, you know, how well he had managed to cope with that situation to the point where he was not desperate at that moment to get off the raft, as most of us would very likely be.
He probably caught rainwater and survived that way too, huh?
Oh, yeah. He had to catch rainwater. He had to, he was constantly trying to make these solar stills work, and problem after problem. So he, that it's about the greatest level of ingenuity you're going to encounter.
And this, I think he wrote a book too about his situation, didn't he?
Yes, called Adrift.
Man. And he goes around, he speaks to schools and things. It's a tremendous story. But what makes somebody tough like that? What is it, the survival mode? What kicked in for him?
Well, one of the great things about him is relates to the capability part of my definition of toughness, is that he was a very prepared, experienced guy in so many different disciplines. Very mechanically astute. He had, a great amount of knowledge about navigation. You know, he built a sextant out of a pair of pencils he happened to have. He understood how so many different things worked. And so many of us go through our lives not really understanding, the way things are put together and fundamentally how they function, so that when things break down, we're largely helpless. But when you have that knowledge of all these broad, disciplines, you have that experience, you're able to figure things out like he did and make something work with limited materials, time constraints, you know, whatever the case may be. Now, what gave him we all have that basic sense of self-preservation, but some of us would just kind of curl up in the fetal position in the corner of the boat and hope that a cruise liner found us, others of us like him take that opportunity and recognize, I am the one who has to be responsible for my being saved. No one is going to magically come fix this for me. And so how each of us gets that attitude, I think, is very different. Some of us are taught it very early on by parents, teachers, coaches. I think some of us do feel it a little bit innately to some extent, or possibly as the result of, growing up in a way where we had no one we could rely on. For example, absentee parents, parents dying young, whatever the case is, we develop that sense of agency, that sense of responsibility for ourselves. And without that, you cannot be successful in a situation like that.
Is toughness also not giving up?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you, that story again, look at the persistence.
That's right. So
over and over and over again, there were problems nonstop, leaking raft, losing rainwater, having sores from the salt water, having his fish that he was drying to try to preserve being rotted by rainwater. You have to have that internal drive in order to persist through those things, rather than waiting for some external thing to come save you. Because if your hope is in this some external helper, every moment that that thing doesn't come save you, your hope is getting chipped away, and you trust it less and less, and you end up in this huge existential crisis, versus recognizing, I'm the one who has to fix this, and you're always there. As long as you're alive and conscious, you know there is something you can try to do in order to fix your situation.
Greg, if you're not tough, what are you? Are you weak?
No. And what I would say is that toughness lies on a gradient, like most qualities. So it's not necessarily tough or not tough. It is varying degrees of toughness. And now, to be fair, the very bottom of the scale of toughness is really, really, you'd have to be very generous to call it tough. But it simply means that those abilities are not developed at all. The potential is there in anyone. And so it is someone who needs some kind of push in a lot of ways. They need to have some kind of tough experience that they recognize could have gone better, or going back to my earlier example of cocaine addiction, what are you finally unwilling to tolerate in your life, right? You're tired of being frustrated with how things are going in jobs, in relationships, whatever the case is. What are you no longer willing to tolerate, and now what are you willing to do about it? And so that's kind of the impetus for people to get started in most cases.
That's amazing. Tell us another story, if you would, share with us. These are great.
Well, another one that I draw from a number of times in the book is a guy named Viktor Frankl, who people are probably familiar with because he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he was a psychiatrist who was imprisoned in a World War II concentration camp. So very easily the most horrific experience I can think of. I don't know if there's anything that will ever match that. And his descriptions and his explanations about how different people coped with that experience, how he himself did, and how they were able to take this physically immutable situation, right? They weren't going to escape. Nothing was going to happen, at least anytime soon. But what a handful of them discovered is that they had the freedom to determine how they experienced that situation. And that was the one thing that couldn't be taken away from them, is their decision on how they viewed this and how they used it. And, simple examples like Frankl having only this tiny piece of bread, and he makes the choice to break a piece of it off and give it to someone else, right? So it's like you are in this situation that is so far beyond your control, but you're recognizing that there's always some part of it. There's always some part of your life, even if it's just internal, that you can control. And with that, you develop this sense of freedom, even though physically you are as far from it as possible.
Can you teach toughness, or do you have to have it within your gut?
Well, if I didn't believe you could teach it, I wouldn't have written a book. So I absolutely believe you can teach it. And I think that certainly there are many parts of it that have to be done individually, right? We all have to have our own ways of going about aspects of it. But absolutely, you can lay out guidelines, which is what I did in this book, is not just provide a philosophy or a bunch of ideas, but also practical steps, right? Here is what you can do to start implementing these things into your life and start building towards this condition of toughness. And so, yes, you can absolutely lead people through it, although the experiences they have to gain on their own. You can't provide experiences for people, of course.
I think women who go to the hospital to have a baby are tough, aren't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it.
No, nor would I.
I've heard it's uncomfortable.
And the definition, again, of toughness, now that we've talked for a little bit, seems to be much broader, I think, than what most people originally may have thought, where, you think there's some tough guy who's in a boxing ring or something like that. But it's emotional toughness too, isn't it? It's not just physical.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really every aspect of our internal and external experiences. And the emotional side of it is really important, because we see people, this is actually very common, who are incredibly physically capable. They've achieved these amazing feats of strength or endurance or whatever. But they just fall apart, in the face of the slightest inconvenience or emotional challenge. They're incapable of communicating with people or getting along with people, things like that. So part of true toughness is recognizing that, the emotions we feel are a natural part of being a human being, but we also have to make sure that we're balancing emotion with rational thought. Those two systems have to work together in concert for us to function optimally and in a way that allows us to succeed and actually achieve what we want to achieve, rather than you know, allowing all of our decisions to be unduly influenced by emotion, particularly, you know, odd secondary emotions like, you know, anger and jealousy and envy and things like that. But we also can't go the opposite direction and try to completely emotionally sterilize ourselves and pretend that those things don't exist, because ultimately, emotion is what provides meaning to life, right? We don't seek experiences because of we like to think about them. We seek experiences because of the way they make us feel. And so we have to be able to accept that and experience it, but also use it to our advantage and not allow it to influence us in ways that are self-destructive.
What about military people who go into war? You got to be tough to do that.
Yes, you have to be, and this goes back to what we talked about earlier, is you have to be willing to sacrifice life and limb to support your beliefs. And that is very much part of toughness, is that having your identity and your values so clear and so forefront in your mind and in your life that you are willing to do something like that and potentially die for it.
I was going to say, well, how would you categorize someone, Greg, where let's say a hand grenade is thrown in a group of people and you're the one that decides, I'm going to jump on it to save all the people in this group. And you do, and you get blown up, of course. Is that toughness? What is that? Bravery? What is it?
Yeah, it is toughness in the sense that that person has decided before that moment, they know this to their core, that something they value is the protection of the people for whom they're responsible, for whom they care about, and that they are willing to pay that price of their life in order to do that duty, that self-imposed duty. And that is, that's about as honorable as it can possibly get in this life, right? Is sacrificing yourself for
absolutely
the sake of someone else. So, yes, that is absolutely a demonstration of you know, one of the many aspects of toughness.
Are police officers the same way, where they're, you know, facing all kinds of heinous situations every day? They put their lives on the line. They're not appreciated that much, but I think they're brave and tough, too.
They are. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have to keep in mind, too, that police officers, people in the military, everybody, they're all individuals. And we need to give them the respect and appreciation for when they're doing these honorable things, these noble things for all the right reasons. But we have to be careful, too, that we're not necessarily assigning those things in a blanket fashion, because there are people who get into jobs like any job for not so honorable reasons. There's always the outliers. And so we just have to be careful about assigning those things. And again, it's all individual. Everybody does things for their own reasons, and we hope that the vast majority of them are for those great honorable reasons.
Would you say, Greg, that an emergency medical practitioner, a doctor who's in an ER room, is a tough person because he faces all these situations every day, people coming in sick, shot up, wounded, broken bones, all kinds of things?
Yes, and it's an extremely stressful position to be in. You are making decisions in, you know, milliseconds that affect people's lives, people's families, and you can make mistakes. You're under a huge amount of pressure. You're very often totally underslept, exhausted, understaffed. So, you know, anybody who's in a position like that and whose desire is to help other people has a huge amount of respect for me. And you look at doctors, especially in that sort of situation, nurses, first responders, they tend to be terribly unhealthy because they live in this constant state of stress, taking care of other people. So absolutely commendable.
It is truly remarkable that I think some people pick careers based on their own personal toughness, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And so even if they don't choose them because of that necessarily, that toughness allows them that option. Because, you know, if you don't have that ability, that toughness, those things are just off the table. You'll never actually be willing to do those things.
I mean, first responders, emergency medical people, firefighters, police officers, as we mentioned, they've got to have this degree of toughness, I think, in order to live in the society they live in and do the kinds of work they do.
Yeah, and I would even go so far as to extend that to people like teachers, because we look at, you know, talk about a group of people who's underappreciated,
sure,
underpaid, and constantly berated and insulted, and you know, just terrible. And it's they live on next to nothing. They pay for half their supplies most of the time, and but they are out there doing a job that they believe is providing value for other people. They really are trying to contribute to the world, just like a police officer, just like a doctor, just like a soldier. And so I think that we need to, you know, remember to group those folks in, you know, with the rest.
And also people who work retail on Black Friday after Thanksgiving in a store. They got to be tough for that too, huh?
Yeah, they should probably be as well-armed as most cops too.
We're going to take calls with Greg Everett next. Stories, of course. Want to share your own story of toughness? Or if you have a question, jump on board. His website is his name, and it is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, catalystathletics.com. That's what he's got, and his book is called Tough, Building Through True Material, Physical and Emotional Toughness for Success and Fulfillment.